Verdade.
Hola, Madrid. This is welcome back to another episode of Left Period Podcast. Where do we begin, Jacob? Should we begin with the good stuff? Because I'll just say the good stuff right now. It was Kamavinga, but that's it. Anything else do you want to add, Jacob? I didn't even want to ask you, you know, like how you're feeling and all that pleasantries for tonight, because not the right moment, you know.
Yeah, well, it's been a while since I popped onto one of these post matches, so
especially in La Liga,
especially La Liga, yeah. And I wish it wasn't this match that I came over to like do a post match on, but it is what it is. I feel like there were a few positives, especially with Vinny. He had a lot of success against Araujo, so that was really a good confidence booster for him. Carvajal had a good performance. He had a few good key passes, which was also nice to see. And as...
But can we say that, can we also add that he was kind of suspect for the opening goal, the equalizer from Barca, right at halftime?
Always.
He had a good game by his standard so far, which has dropped clearly. There is no sugarcoating it, right? We all know what Carvajal is capable of.
And suddenly, like the other thing, like okay, you did say Kamavinga also had like a pretty good match, and the return of Mendy also gives us a lot more options. So we don't have to like depend and like even witness these awful Rodiger passes anymore. We have the option of playing Nacho there, and yeah, I feel like there are a few positives to talk about.
Nacho was put under pressure early on. He kind of coped. He did his best. It can't always be Nacho's game, but I don't know, man. I look for the term control. We were in control for large bits, you know, like after we got the opening goal, which was a lucky deflection and whatnot. But we had some semblance of control during that period. And then all that hard work that we built, you know, like, yeah, we weren't doing much. There was a huge gap between the midfield and the defense and whatnot. Modric and Cruz, they couldn't get around much, you know, in my opinion, at least. So they were clear gaps, right? So we couldn't beat the press effectively of Barca, but somehow we managed to keep the ball. Kamavinga was very neat with his passing, with his dribbling. But as soon as we let that goal in, I thought it was game over, because Barcelona smelled blood. And I knew for a fact that Barca always had this in the back of their mind, that coming out for the second half, you know what, we play our game. Real Madrid needs to, you know, step it up. They need to come out and attack us. They need to score the all-important second goal. They need to take the initiative, where then we can actually counter them on the break and, hurt them. And that's what exactly happened, man. Unfortunately, a goal got ruled out for offside from Asensio. Rodrigo had a chance. Benzema, man, some of his shot connection, shot decisions. Just fucking poor, bro, for someone who's supposed to be the talisman, someone who's supposed to be the captain. He's nowhere near looks fit. Alvaro, unfortunately, got suspended for I think, yellow card accumulation in Castilla and whatnot. But come on, man, we should have done something different. Especially at least with the substitutions being a little bit early. You clearly saw there was a clear shift in momentum when people like Dani Ceballos came on, right? Like, we looked very, very bright. Yeah. I feel like this was a missed opportunity, even though I deep down know myself that probably winning here wouldn't have mattered much, you know? But still, it's bragging rights. It's a fucking classico, right? Like, if we could get the 3 points, we could have chatted to them that, you know what, like, even when you were having the best of defensive seasons and whatnot, we still managed to do a double over you. But at this moment, I don't think it matters for much. Do you want to get into some of the comments, Jacob? Go for it.
Sure. Like just speaking about bragging rights, so the first comment we have is from a Barcelona fan. So I'm just going to pull it up on screen. It's a Gustavo Marquez. He says, "Vamos Barça," and then punching emojis.
Well, they are pumped, you know. Like Rio was mentioning in the group chat, right? Like they're celebrating it like the Champions League final. Like who? Like can you really blame them, Jacob? You can't. You can't.
Yeah, and the final celebration, like at the final whistle, it was also like the marking of winning a La Liga, right? And then
we would have done the same or even more, you know, especially at home, especially after all the rumors and the allegations and what they had to go through in Europe, you know, the La Liga concession to us last year as well. It all adds up. Let's see. Dennis is back. He says, "Man, I'm fucking man. Man, I'm fucking man. Just had my dad call me. He's a Barcelona fan." Yeah, he had mentioned it. I guess in the last episode or the previous one. "We must win the Champions League, man. How have we lost to these guys 3 times in a row?" Yeah, that's another deafening blow. And guess what? We have them again soon. Yeah. And it's another opportunity to set things right, but I don't see a way for things to go right, especially with the second leg again being back at the Camp Nou. My optimism is way 6 feet under. Like I wasn't optimistic for tonight either. Were you, Jacob? From the preview, you were pretty neutral. Even Farooq was pretty neutral, but were you guys really optimistic about tonight's case?
Farooq did predict a really narrow win for us. So did, I mean, even Shubham, he was kind of pessimistic heading into it. He was like, maybe anything can happen with these controversies. It's going to be very tight. I did predict that it's going to be a 2-2 draw.
Right.
But definitely not too optimistic.
It's not an easy place to go. It's not an easy place to come out with the victory. You know, Carlos' record, I thought, once the Asensio goal went in, I thought, you know what, you know, the eyebrow, you know, it has its powers come to the fore finally. But yeah, man, it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. Danielson is back in the comments. He says, "Big up, guys. Big up, Daniel." He also said, "I must confess, I feel let down this night by my team." Yeah, I feel the same, man, because Jacob, can you agree with me? The first leg of the Copa del Rey semi-final, we looked absolutely clueless, right? Like, we couldn't do anything. Like, even if there were periods tonight where we kind of looked lethargic and out of sync and whatnot, Camavinga was a shining bright. Rodrigo, when he came on, was really, really sharp. But there were moments, right? Like, I don't know if you remember, somewhere around, I think, the 65th minute when Benzema got the ball, a loose ball. I think it was a misplaced pass or something. The shot he hit at Stegen was so fucking weak. It was almost like he suddenly aged like 25, 30 years over the span of like 2-3 injuries, you know, during the past year. And Benzema has completely lost that venom in his shot. Last year's Benzema calls it no chance for Ter Stegen. Yeah. Far bottom corner, right? Like, so those kind of gilt-edged chances makes this a bit more painful. If it was a straight-up hammering, and, you know, like, when I said this a good 1.5 months ago that the La Liga title is gone, people came for me. I'm going to repeat this again. People actually came for me telling me that I'm a plastic fan. I was just going by what my eyes tell me, right? Like, what I see, what I can comprehend, we don't play good enough. Yes, Barca is going to drop points, which they did against Almeria, which no one saw coming. We couldn't even capitalize even then, right? Like, so what's the point? What's the point, man? So back to the original question, Jacob. The rant, you know, the rant, sometimes it takes control of me.
I was like, So which of your comments do I like actually focus on?
No, the main thing I want you to focus on is the fact that tonight's loss feels a little more painful, right? Like yeah. than the Copa del Rey one, because we managed to create some really good plays, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think Dio Sama in the comments also like resonates with that feeling, because he says, I'm so pissed right now. I thought we had won the match when Asensio scored, but my hopes were crushed in the next 10 minutes. And it's not just the Asensio scoring, right? Like you said, Benzema had a couple of gilt-edged chances. Rodrigo,
man. That chance. Man, yeah. man. Someone of Rodrigo's caliber should put it away. Should put it away. At least test Ter Stegen, you know? Test yeah. him.
He even had, I feel like he even had like a moment to like take a touch, but he just like, fine.
Yeah. That's something that Vinicius would do, right? Not Rodrigo.
Yeah. I mean, Vinny, I have nothing to say, man. Like, he put in, like, all with the abilities that he had. But,
The carrying job was insane, right? I got no qualms with them.
Mm. Yeah, you did say, right, our midfield, like, didn't look so clueless today. I would say it's also because of Vinny's form. So, finally, we had, like, an outlet that works against Barcelona, which we haven't had, like, in any of the past meetings. It's like Vinicius could suddenly, like, pop in. He was, like, right there with his positioning. Even Benzema, he did drop deep. He was there, right there to receive the pass.
He was combining and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, at least he was doing that. And I feel like that helped our midfield a lot, because otherwise, these guys have to pass it amongst each other, which is, like, the most dumbest thing you can do while you're trying to get the ball out of transition. But today, that was the difference. Like, we had actual outlets, and it's just that final product that we lacked.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. It just feels painful, you know. I don't know why. Like, I shouldn't be feeling anything, because we knew, despite even winning miraculously at the Camp Nou, this is not going to matter. So I knew that all along. I was preparing myself for this all along. But that's the funny bit about loving your club and watching football, right? Like, it sucks you in. It gives you so much hope. It gives you so much fucking hope for only for it to snatch it all away. Yeah, man. I'm pretty sure, you know, like, if Asensio scores that, and I mean, it wasn't offside, and then we win the game, we'll be sitting here, you know, saying otherwise, you know, the window is still open and whatnot. But yeah, 12 points. We have let Barca make this the Scottish Premiership. You know, that's how fucking embarrassing this is. Like, I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I've actually sat through some very good Barca teams, you know, and this is another dagger blow, man. Honestly, dagger blow. Dennis in the comments says, do you guys think that was offside to Nathan Jacob? Because I don't think so. But I'm not solely blaming it on the refs. We were poor that second half. I got to tell you, man, that was offside. It was the finest of margins, but yeah, man, it was offside. And so, really, we were poor in the second half. I think we were better in the second half. Yeah, go on, Jacob.
Like, that offside thing, like, I saw a couple of memes being shared, because I think the lines drawn by the VAR team, like, that was pretty funny, because the line for, who was it? Koundé, who was the last man?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so Koundé's line was drawn at his elbow, and for Asensio, it was drawn, like, pretty close to his, like, chest. And then people were like, oh, so this is how you draw things. And then there was a bunch of rumors.
No, without the lines. See, that's why I told you I kind of had the feeling it was offside in real time, right? That's why I was very apprehensive about celebrating or not. Just without the lines, when they showed me the freeze frame during the live telecast, I just thought, like, yeah, like, it was the slightest of margins, but the shoulder, you know, it was unfortunate, man. Unfortunate, honestly. All that shots Thibaut had to save, you know, to keep us on the game, remember? Just the brilliant saves that he had to make. Rudiger, who had a very, very good game. Nacho as well. If you remember, I think they double team on Lewandowski. I think was it in the first half or was it in the beginning of the second half? I don't remember. It was very crucial that intervention. Militao, you needn't say much about his performance, as always. Pretty top notch. Yeah, man. We worked really hard defensively, but it's fucking frustrating. Danielson says, this shows that not signing Mbappe last summer window has really cost us the league this season. I don't think we need fucking Mbappe to win La Liga, man. Do you think, Jacob, we need Mbappe to win La Liga? But I guess the drop-off of Benzema is the reason that people are going loco, right? Like, and rightfully so.
Exactly, man. Like, if we had the Benzema of maybe even the 50% of what Benzema was last season, he's bagging in a few more goals at least, and then saving us and getting us points in these like tight ties. Mm. But I don't think Mbappe is the answer. Like, just to win La Liga for this one.
Do you reckon he's coming next summer?
Isn't that the question? No, man. I definitely don't think so. But even if like, okay. I don't know. We do have other priorities. Let's just get those filled first.
Right back to begin with. Tochukwu Nwankwo. Apologies if I pronounce it wrong, my bro. He says the coaching let us down. Doing the same thing three matches in a row with no success isn't the way to trust in the young players. Can you decipher what that really means, Jacob?
Yeah. So he was just saying, trying the same thing, basically playing. I'm guessing he's talking about the midfield, which is Kroos and Modric.
He was and like, Ferreira on the right.
Ferreira on the right. He was like, probably get Rodrigo in there faster, maybe even Ceballos to like really match up Barca's athleticism.
Mm-hmm. But let me just flip the script. Yeah, that has been annoying, I'm not gonna lie, but if you pull in Rodrigo and you can't leave out Fede, man, right? Like, we all know that we can't leave out Fede. Fede is the guy who makes all these other guys perform. He covers so much ground. We can't leave him out. But if people like Ceballos and Rodrigo starts from the bench, if we need energy, do we really bring on Kroos, right?
Honestly, like, I would bring on Kroos if the timing was right. It's just that he will provide you like a moment to breathe, at least take a few touches, make the right decision.
But for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kind of game that Kroos would have to come to. Like, he won't be the guy to bring on, like, when you absolutely need a goal and then you just need to put in a cross or something immediately.
Hmm. It'll be a different kind of injection into the game. Mm. Fair enough. Just give me a second. Yeah, over 25 people of you in the chat. Don't forget to like the video and also subscribe to the channel, man. Turn on the notification bell on to, you know, to actually be in the know when we schedule a stream. We are on the road to, you know, 1K, so any kind of support is much appreciated. You guys are basking in our tears, so yeah, you know, like, it'll be easier for us if you could actually show us some support. But Daniel says a very good performance by Thibaut. Yeah, we don't talk much about Thibaut, you know, like I always mention the case, you know, when we don't talk about someone at all much, it means that he is playing his heart out, he's playing out of his skin, and there isn't much Thibaut can do at this moment in time. He single-handedly has helped us so many times this season, and he has to keep doing it if we have to wrap this season up with a trophy or two. It goes without saying. Like, Jacob, like, what could have we done, like, differently to, you know, stop either of the goals? Like, you know,
There isn't much apart from, like, injecting Thibaut with like some super radioactive chemical so he grows out longer. There is no way like he could have stopped any of those goals.
Mm-hmm. You want to turn him into Bruce Banner now? Yeah. That's the only remaining experiment. Zohar is in the chat. Nice to see you, man. He says, Real Madrid was Barcelona, Vinicius and Carvajal. I didn't quite get that. But yeah, big up you, man. Dennis says, I'm definitely pissed. I agree with Sinead. This hurts more than the Copa del Rey first leg loss. UUI2 says, do Real Madrid fans believe that Barcelona deserves the win? Jacob.
Okay, so this is definitely a Barca fan account. Yeah, so Messi, Ballon d'Or winning on a steep.
So he's trying to squeeze the lemon now.
Yeah. Exactly. It is painful to say, but I do believe that Barcelona did deserve the win, even though it was pretty evenly matched. And then Barcelona picked their moments and just got the goals now.
Completely agree. On the pitch, they 100% deserve to win tonight. The Copa del Rey as well. That's what I was saying. But come the end of the season, or if I get the chance to actually call up a few of my mates in Barcelona, I'm going to have to check their bank accounts, you know, just in case, you know, just in case to make sure. Nothing too serious. You know, just receipts. That's it. Danielson says, we was better in the second half, in my opinion. Yeah, that's what I was alluding to earlier. Young Pharaoh. Oh, that's a cool name, yeah. Might be actually, you know, part of the Egyptian dynasty. But big up Young Pharaoh, man. He says, robbery, exclamation. You know, was an offside. Since your goal is a robbery. Real Madrid played perfect. Barcelona is a good team, and Real won today. But Marco's goal was robbed, and unfortunately, Mendy was tossed into a rough situation at a late point in the game. Carvajal cannot play 90 minutes. Yeah,
I mean,
I thought Mendy.
I feel like the comment would have been funnier. If it just ended with Carvajal cannot.
We can't really get at Carvajal tonight though, right? Like he was pretty good.
I feel like it was one of his better games even, like at least, especially in attack. Like, I'm not gonna talk about the defense, but the attack was pretty good.
Yeah. Like if the goal stood, like, he should have the match-winning assist, right?
Yeah.
For Asensio. Well, that's a shame. Well, we still have the Champions League. You know, we still have Chelsea to play, hopefully. And Mudrik to face. A couple more quads to tear for Carvajal. Hopefully not. My God. Please stay fit, my bro. Danielson says, not going to lie, but a 34-year-old striker shouldn't be spearheading reheading our attack. Guys, come on. Madridistas, we can do better. Well, see, I've said this. I'm going to repeat this again. I told this even before we played Chelsea in the second leg, where I saw in the first leg, Benzema put in a performance that I haven't seen him put in a long, long time. Or maybe I'll go as much to say as never, because he was unplayable. He was out of this world in that performance. And if you guys remember, even against City, he wasn't nowhere nearly that good. You know, like, yes, obviously he was, you know, the 2021-22 Benzema was really special. But deep down, having watched him, having watched our team for you know, over 10 years, I could just see that was his actual crowning moment. And I came on this very podcast and I used to tell the panel that you saw what Benzema did. You know, we should be winning the Champions League for him. And the team did it. And I also used to add the footnote that Benzema is not Cristiano Ronaldo, Benzema is not Messi, Benzema is not Haaland, who is 21, right? So he wouldn't be able to put in these performances week in, week out. His body, he would want to. Obviously, Benzema has the talent, Benzema has the footwork, Benzema has the IQ to actually be really, really, really good. But at this age that he is going through, like, the body won't listen, right, Jacob? Like, we saw this coming a long time ago, but why is this such a surprise for some of the fans. Like, I don't understand.
I mean, people don't expect such a sharp of a drop off, right? Saying, oh, maybe after the World Cup, he's just going to be the old Benzema again, because everyone else in the attack are going to have a hard World Cup, and then we need Benzema to really step up when we really need him. But then that just didn't end up happening. And even in the last few games, he did miss out on training a couple of times. He's in like totally fit. It's just not the right moment for him to us to be really depending on him. And the sad part is, like, we have no one else to turn to. And everyone, even if we decide to play Rodrigo at the center forward position, he's still going to do a worse job than the current Benzema right now.
Yeah, facts. What can you do, man? Honestly, this, like, replacing... See, Benzema plays a position that determines games, right? Football is about scoring goals and winning matches. And when your talisman, like what Dennis said, Danielson said, you know, the spearhead of our attack, when he is not in peak physical condition, there isn't much you can do. And Benzema, although he doesn't rely on his pace, he relies on his flexibility, sharpness a lot, I think, a lot more than your traditional strikers, maybe like Lewandowski, who is a much more old-fashioned goal scorer. So we saw this coming. We tried to warn the people. I guess none of them actually listens to English podcasts. If they did, they would have come across us and would have known some very plain insight into what was about to happen. You know,
right now I'm thinking, Sunit, you can't even really blame the fans. You know, like, nobody would have seen it coming, because we are so spoiled as Real Madrid fans to witness the godlike physique of Luka Modric, man. That guy is 35. He's still spearheading the midfield. He's still putting in those late shifts. Even at the end of 90 minutes, he's still like super match sharp. So we were expecting the same of Benzema as well, but then life just doesn't turn out that way. Some people have it, some people don't at that age.
But don't you think in midfield, when there is a lot more space, it's much more easier?
With Luka, man, I mean, with Luka Modric, you don't see the drop off, man. Like, especially in tight spaces, he still makes that right decision. He still manages to glide away. Like, you saw in the Liverpool match, was it? He just did that piece of magic against Trent. Yeah, it's like,
but the thing is, man, don't you think Modric gets rested way more often, rotated way more often?
For sure, man. Compared to Benzema, heck yeah.
Yeah, so that definitely does play a part, right?
Yeah, you're right. We just don't have, I mean, there is no answer, man. Like, we haven't been able to, like, close out games early enough to, like, bring on someone or give Benzema any credit.
Even if we manage to close out games, Carlo will be like, yo, man, Benzema, stay on, score a hat-trick, you know, in 3 minutes of injury time. That's what he does. Like, what can you do? So, like, when you see that, like, we can only scream at the TV, right? Like, even if they could hear us, they wouldn't know what the fuck we are screaming, right? Because they don't understand the language. But anybody sane, you know, would actually rotate Benzema so much more. We rotated Benzema out of pure necessity this season compared to, you know, giving him... If you remember Cristiano's final year or the year before, where he actually tore apart the entire European, European Cup or Champions League, he was rotated very, very well. Very, very well. So that he came into crucial ties in peak form. We had a better squad. We had better goal scorers, a much more imposing squad and whatnot. But come on, man. At least now, Jacob, this is my question, yeah? If you were the manager, at least now, surely, Benzema would be coming on for the last 20 minutes.
Even a kid playing like Football Manager or FIFA knows that you have to, like, sometimes rest your strikers. It's just that Carlo doesn't know. And with Cristiano, like, Cristiano has probably the best physique in the world, right? Even he had to rest. So that just means that, you know, with Benzema, it's just madness that they're seeing.
Or Carlo just doesn't see a way around negating his absence. You know, he can maybe do it for a couple of games or three games, or when he's actually out injured, when there is no other option, he'll throw in Rodrigo. But in my opinion, he should be throwing in Alvaro into the deep end. Now is the time. Just go do your thing. You know, build up some confidence, score some goals. Try to actually arrive in some good moments in the latter half of the season so that Alvaro can actually deputize Benzema, you know. Yeah. Really hope, you know. Go on, Jacob.
We can all hope, but then I feel like maybe since La Liga is like totally out of the question, like even for Carlo right now, he might like consider bringing on Alvaro for these La Liga games. Like you said, let's hope. We can only
not bringing on. Benzema shouldn't be playing. I'm telling you, Benzema shouldn't be playing, bro. I know it's not going to happen, but we really, really have a very good chance of actually retaining the Champions League, which I thought we wouldn't be able to this season, you know, because I knew all this was going to come up, all this World Cup fitness issues, Benzema obviously dropping off. I knew all this, man. I'm not Harry fucking Potter, but, you know, like, I could just see that. My only hope is that we rotate Benzema enough that we can field him for the crucial moments against Chelsea. And then if we progress against Chelsea, City or Bayern, we won't be able to move past either of them without Benzema in peak form. So, like, and it's what? The quarterfinal and the semifinal is going to be between in the space of a month, I guess, a month, 10 days. That's it, right? That's it. Max, 4-5 weeks. So it's going to be peak how we manage Benzema. Without Benzema, we won't be able to do anything. And yeah, man, we got to be a little more ruthless. Fuck the league. I'm so over the league, you know, especially with everything. I'm not being salty at this moment in time, but the last few times I was on for the post-matches, I wasn't really reading into what was going on, but now I have a better understanding and it makes me sick. It makes me question what I have been actually following for the last 10, 15 years. It's a fucking shame. But it's for another day. Tonight, we got deservedly beaten. Dennis the Great earlier, he was saying, we must win the Champions League now. Man, for me to forget about this game and Barcelona winning La Liga. Yeah, if we don't win the Champions League, I'll say it right now, it'll be a failure. Because we are not Arsenal, we are not West Ham, you know, we are Real Madrid. We expect to win the biggest honours and we have already conceded La Liga. If we lose the Champions League, man, it'll be peak. It'll be peak and a very bad send-off gift for so many great names. Jacob, like, it'll be really, really a huge horror show to actually watch Kroos, Modric and the likes, you know, leave empty-handed. All that, see, that's the thing, right? Like, people can obviously look into the past and claim, oh yeah, like, look at all the gold they've collected. But at the end of the day, when they leave, if they leave empty-handed, it'll be forever a stain in their career.
Yep.
Like, it's not going to look good, you know, for someone that great. But yeah, again, I'm going to come back to you, Jacob, regarding Kroos. He looked fucking pissed when he was taken off.
I mean, understandably
understandably so. Do you think he's losing faith in his own abilities at this point? Sometimes when I look at him, like, he still looks extremely good, man. Like, especially when we discussed, you know, like, when he's in the left channels, he's pretty good. But why does he subconsciously drop the deepest even when Kamavinga is there, man? Can you find the reason for me? Is it just the body asking him to be cautious?
I'm not sure that's the case because you do need him to like distribute the ball further up the pitch, especially in build-up. I feel like him dropping back is not the issue. It's just that when he drops back, Kamavinga should like drive up. That should be the tactic when we are trying to build up, and then it's just that these guys aren't that used to playing with each other. Casemiro used to do that, if you remember. Like when Cruz used to drop really deep, he used to like make that run
push
into
up,
the into the number 10 position, and then that used to free up a lot of space. So we haven't been able to see that, and the team just looks stagnant at that point, which slows down our build up. And
out of the go on, Jake.
And like I feel like the change was deserved. Like we needed a fresh pair of legs, and the change actually brought a change of formation as well, which was refreshing to see.
Was there a double pivot? I couldn't give two fucks honestly at that point. But was it a double pivot that we were playing once Cruz came off? Right.
Yeah,
Tchouaméni and Ceballos.
No.
Was it?
No, before that, it was Valverde and Camavinga in a double pivot with Rodrigo coming. So you could actually see Camavinga like whisper to Valverde saying, "Hey, bro, you gotta like stay with me. We're gonna go to a double pivot." Yeah. Anyways.
So when Ceballos came on, he was part of a midfield three again.
Yep.
Yeah, Ceballos was really good, man. I was very impressed with his showing as well. Like out of the three, Cruz, Modric, Dani Ceballos, right? Like their future is the most unstable at this moment in time. Who of the three do you think will leave? I think the answer is obvious, but I wanted to hear it from you.
I used to think it was obvious as well, especially at the start of the season. Like Cruz was like dropping hints every now and then saying, "Hey, this might be the last. You're not going to see me anymore." But then it's March already, and then he still hasn't like provided any sort of clarification on anything. So I feel like if the club does not like ask him to leave or whatever, he's going to stay. Because it's just too late, man. Like, if you're not going to reveal your intentions to the club, like, we can't make another signing. We can't, like, fill up the spot. So, I feel like he's going to stay.
At the end, if he comes out and says, you know, like, "I want to leave," then it'll look bad, right? Like, it would be burning of the bridge straight away. I don't think Cruz is going to do that.
Yeah.
Quickly to some more comments. Dennis the Great also was saying, "I think we are smoking Chelsea. Now there is nothing else to look forward to this season." Yeah, season is kind of a mini wrap at this moment in time, honestly. Conceding the league in fucking March is absolutely horrible. I thought that I left that period way in my past. The last time I conceded the league this late was in 2017. Was the league over in March, Jacob? I think so, yeah. It was kind of horrible.
But I think it wasn't 12 points.
It
wasn't 12.
Yeah. That's the thing. Even with the Zidane's first season, when we clawed it back to a single point, it was so much better. Like, it was looking bleak, of course. Rafa Benitez, the classic and whatnot, but it surely wasn't this bleak. So I really can't remember the last time, you know. It could be my first season actually watching our club. Mourinho's first season. But even then, I think we lost the league title by maybe like 2 points or something. That was it. But the atmosphere was kind of similar to this, because Barcelona were flying and we couldn't do two shits about it. And this feels similar. My God, I was 15 then. I'm 28 now. It's, man. Peak, honestly. has it ever been this bad, Jacob, while in your time following a club? No, right? No.
I feel like one of the Zidane seasons, the point gap was very big, but then the league wasn't over by March, man. Like, this is it.
17-18. Yeah. 17-18, and it was one of the worst ever seasons in our history as far as the league goes, and I think Carlo is on course to break it, man. Fucking hell. Yeah. To speak. Danielson says, and this is why, in my opinion, we need to give Rodrigo more game time. I just don't understand why he doesn't start. But then I think about the impact he has when he comes on, and then he comes on and does stupid shit like that. I don't know. I'm just like, he is my most favorite player in the squad. I've said that on many occasions. Is this stop-start thing is what is hindering Rodrigo, Jacob? Why can't he cut a proper spot in the team at this moment in time? Because he surely has the talent, has the temperament, has the mentality.
I feel like we've had this conversation for the past 2 years. Like, is the stop-start thing like hindering Rodrigo's progress? Man,
I got to make a living off this, so I got to ask the questions, Jacob. You know, pardon me, but go for it.
Well, man, I don't think so. Especially this season, he has been like way more consistent than seasons before. He has like really stepped it up. At least, even if he doesn't score or even assist, he just makes stuff happen. Especially like his trademark right now is like operations in tight spaces. He can make magic happen, but it's just that we haven't been like giving him the ball in that position for a long time. Like even when after he came on, he was probably the most deepest attacker, like even behind our right wing, which was Valverde, I guess. Like, he was playing deeper than Valverde at some point. So it's just that we couldn't get the ball to him at the right moments. And when he did get the ball, it's just a couple of moments, man. Like, you can't fault him. He has been so good so far. I'm just not going to like rip into him.
Honestly, yeah. Like, Rodrigo is our only trump card, right? If you really deep it, he's our sole trump card. Alvaro is a how can you put it? Alvaro is a unquantified
unproven. Like,
like you can't really expect anything from Alvaro. Like, he has pleasantly surprised us, not gonna lie, but still a long way to go for the young man. But another question quickly that came to my mind: Fede, why was he so anonymous for large parts, man? And even the couple of chances he got, a man who's playing up top, obviously he is an inverted winger, he's not a winger and whatnot, but we were lauding him for actually breaking the 10 goal mark and whatnot. You know, like, he has 12 goals or something now this season, all comps, I think. But he just can't manage to put away some gilded chances recently. And it has been costing us, you know, especially since Benzema has been on and off.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just his shooting ability that has gone down. His decision-making has also suffered, I feel, like after the World Cup. But it's Fede, man. Fede will bounce back for sure. He has it in him. And I still believe, like, next season, we can still expect to see, like, 10 goals from him. It's just the World Cup here, and then I'm just going to, like...
These players have played too much, right? Like, they have played a lot of football this season without much respite. And Club World Cup, Supercopa España, what other competition? Oh, UEFA Super Cup, you know, early in the season. There's been a lot of football. But yeah, man, I wish we can play the UEFA Super Cup and the Club World Cup again. Please. You know, like, I'm not gonna bitch about that ever, you know. But UI2 is back. He says, will a Real Madrid fan take Saka from Arsenal to play on the right wing? Well, bro, I like Arsenal. I've said that on many occasions on this podcast. And I watch Saka a lot, and he is hands down, I think, the best right winger in Europe. You know, you can't take Arsenal. I mean, you can't take Saka out of Arsenal. You can't take Arsenal out of Saka. He is one of their own. Future captain, there's no chance, man. Absolutely not. Unless you kind of drug him and kidnap him out of colony. That's the only way. Saka's forever a goner, at least in my opinion. Danielson says, please, why is someone like Hazard? Here we go. Still doing what is Hazard still doing in our team? Man is literally talking on the bench with a weekly salary of about 500k quid in his account. Well, what else can he do, man? Huh? He can't be donating that to charity and coming to you and asking you for forgiveness. Will he do that? He won't, right? That's what Cruz said. You know, like, he's not actually having a bad time. He gets the best delicacies in Spanish cuisine delivered straight to his home. He's chilling. What like, I'm not gonna tolerate any Hazard slander tonight, especially when he had no part in it, right? Like, what is he supposed to do? Dennis says, question to Sunil and Jacob, do you guys think Ancelotti rates Tchouaméni? Because I don't think he does. Well, that's an interesting question. I just think that he has to fight his way back into the team. There's clear qualities that Tchouaméni brings to the table that I don't think Camavinga can, you know, especially defensively. Jacob, your thoughts on this question from Dennis?
I feel like Carlo has figured something out with Tchouaméni. It's just that him playing with Kroos and Modric is like no longer works, at least this season.
But
if we do have like a mixed midfield, a bit more young, so maybe even Ceballos on that, I feel like he's still going to trust Tchouaméni to play that CDM role.
Tchouaméni, Camavinga, Ceballos is a spicy midfield. Yeah. Looks good on paper, at least. Do you think that if we had gone with that in the first half tonight, we would have had a better... No, right?
There is no way, man. we just can't score. It's a known fact.
Yeah. But so you're telling me the midfield, the age, the lack of mobility is an easy scapegoat, right? Is that what you're trying to imply here? That most of the time,
I feel like it's
easy to throw Cruz under the bus.
It's like the least of our worries right now. Like, throwing Cruz under the bus is not the answer. It's like, it is Benzema, man, basically. It's like, we need someone in attack, put in the ball in the back of the net. So that's just not been happening.
The only reason we won the double last year was Benzema was in, like, unreal form, right? Like, something that he hasn't put together consistently over the course of his career, right? Like, last year, he was firing on all cylinders. You could argue maybe post-2018, it has been kind of good. But last year was something else. Last year was Cristiano levels, you know. It can't be replicated, man. Surely, it cannot be. You know, it's as simple as that. Maybe if Mbappe and Benzema combines, that might be a different equation altogether. But him alone, the carry job, man, it's just nigh impossible. Like that's what I was mentioning in the chat regarding his celebration against Liverpool. It was almost fucking poetic that he pulled up mid celebration. You know, like it was like God telling us, fucking Perez, open your eyes, man. You see this thing? You know, like he's just wheeling away to celebrate. He's pulling up, you know. What else can we do, man? The nature is providing us with signs. The fans are actually, you know, pleading with signs. There is no response. I think that is the PR way of dealing things, you know, by the club. They know that this is the reality. We just won a historic double. So they might think, you know, this season, maybe winning a Copa del Rey would suffice. But come on, that'll be a huge, huge stain on some of these great players, man. They need to walk away with something historic. And we have the chance. Imagine Jacob. Carlo actually winning it back-to-back with a team that doesn't have clear goal scorers, with a Benzema on one leg, with a Cruz on one leg, with a 37-year-old Modric, with a Rudiger in his first season, with a Carvajal who can't really make two lung-bursting runs back-to-back. It'll be quite the feat, right? Do you think it'll eclipse the Zidane double peat? I think it'll, you know, hands down.
Well, if the Champions League of last year was like is any indication of what it's going to be this year, then for sure, man, the documentary is going to look amazing if that does happen.
I don't want any talk of documentaries. Fuck the documentaries, bro. Let me tell you something, yeah? See, I'm someone who believes in the reverse jinx so much that I remember after the second leg, despite we won it in the most dramatic of fashions against City last year, I came on the post-match and I was very skeptical about putting up a T4 of your fucking captain. Of course, like if it's of Di Stefano or Puskas or someone, understandable. But he is your on-field captain for the night and there is a T4 of him from the fans. All that hype, drama shit, not a fan, man. I'll tell you honestly. And I'll tell you that the documentary was so fucking poorly timed. Poorly timed. It should have been after the season ended. Do you share the sentiment? I mean, it's not gonna matter much.
For me, it was like, okay, this was a break from the current Real Madrid. It's like going back to fantasy, ignoring
right,
the current.
Right. Escape.
Yeah, it was an escape for me.
Fair enough. Dennis says we are only 5 points behind Atleti, which is fucking embarrassing. Good luck to Rahul. You know, he might be feasting. I wonder where he is because I think he lives in India and it's too fucking late. That's why he's not showing up. Obviously, he'll be here. You know, he'll be here if he had the chance. You know Rahul, bro. Whenever we have a bad day, he is here shouting up Atleti. You know, like that's the only thing he chats shit about. Madrid. Yeah, also that. I don't know why he says that. Yeah, miss you, Rahul. Come back soon, baby. But Dennis says, in Mourinho's first season, we had 92 points and Barcelona 96. Yeah, 4-point difference. It's been a while, Dennis. My bad. In the 2018 season, we were bad in the league, but we still won the Champions League to redeem ourselves. Yeah, I still remember that season. And Champions League was our only hope. Still looking back, I feel like we had that good of a squad. We had missed the Champions League, man. That's the reason why we kind of limped over the line. We weren't great by any stretch of the imagination. Arpit Bhaskar is in the chat. He says, do you think it's time Tobias gets some chances? See, I was of the... Good question, Arpit. I was of the similar impression, but then I saw some of his highlights against AZ Alkmaar in the UEFA Youth League when we lost 4-0 in the quarterfinals. And man, was he fucking embarrassing. Like, yes, he can attack. Yes, he has a knack of finding good chances in tight spaces and whatnot. But his defensive AI... I said AI. His defensive IQ is pretty fucking shit. Like, I think there is a long, long way to go. People have been very skeptical about the thought of triggering his buyout clause and whatnot with Shakhtar. I frankly think he isn't ready yet. Jacob, do you have any thoughts about Vinicius Tobias?
I mean, that's been a concern of all of us coaches at Real Madrid. And then you're right. We are even considering, like, do we trigger the buyout clause? We're trying to negotiate down the buyout clause as well. So all signs point to the fact that he's not a natural, like, actual RB. He's more of a RWB. Maybe in a position where we have, like, 5 in the back, he could work, but not in the current squad.
He could be a good backup, you know. I mean... If we have a very established, if he had Hakimi, he could do a job, maybe. But like even then, I think at this level, you can't be that defensively bad. Like you can't be. We can't afford a Trent, you know. Liverpool can afford a Trent because you know they're just shite. But imagine if we had like the only reason that Carvajal has been here is not just because of his attacking prowess. It's also he can defend. Obviously, he has lost a yard of space, but his positioning, his ability to deal with aerial balls and whatnot is still pretty impressive for Carvajal, who is like what 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah.
Arpit also asks, should Alvaro Rodriguez start from the next few matches? Yeah, we were talking about it a few moments ago, man. I honestly think he should. Would the club do that? Would Carlo do that? I don't think so. But I really want Alvaro to be starting games and Benzema just to keep him fit, just to, you know, keep him in check. Last 20 minutes, give Benzema run out. That's it. At least in the league. That should be what we should be doing. Fuck the league. League is done. Adios. You know, we should focus on how we can keep our big game players fit, because if we don't, we'll suffer. Even against Chelsea, I'm telling you. We are sitting here laughing about, oh yeah, Chelsea, you know, very favorable draw and whatnot. But once it gets to April 11th, I think, we'll be shitting our pants, man, because Chelsea are not to be underestimated. Dennis says, we are Real Madrid. We cannot be satisfied with just a Copa del Rey. Yeah, Copa del Rey is Barca's official poster trophy. And that's also the funny bit, you know. That's also the funny bit. Imagine ending up with just that this season. I'll have to fucking close down the channel, you know. it'll be that peak. Ricardo says, nice to see you again, man. He says, if we don't win the Champions League, Carlo has to go. Oof. Do you share the sentiment, Jacob?
I mean, I think Carlos still going at the end of the season, like no matter what happens. Like even if he does get a Champions League win, I feel like he might like think, hey, I've like done pretty much all I can with this current team. Like things are not looking good. It's just maybe we can have hero ball at the end of the season, like, and that's how we win Champions League. But then consistently, like, I don't think he can like do wonders with this team anymore.
Hurts, man. Fuck. Yeah. Oh, it's very hard for me to actually turn against Carlo. I haven't been one of his biggest critics, but yes, he has made some mind-boggling decisions. But I still think that he's someone who can pull out something special always, and I hope he stays. Honestly, he's so fit for the club. Ideology-wise, yeah. Philosophy-wise, and whatnot, right? Like, he is the perfect man manager. Yeah, it'll be peak, man. I'm just gonna be stacking up the tissue boxes. You know, last year it was Casemiro, nobody saw it coming. It was very, very bad. I just hope it'll be a matter of just one guy going out and not, you know, like a whole host of, you know, Cruz, Carlo, and whatnot, Modric. Oof, that'll be peak.
I think even when like shit hits the fan, like Carlo is the only manager who doesn't see Carlo out comments like into that extent that we usually see. Like even with Zidane,
Zidane is like next day, boom.
Yeah. It was always Zidane out. Like, and we had like even boring matches. Even when we managed to win, it was like, Zidane out. But with Carlo, like, we don't see that because fans have like a natural respect for him.
I'll tell you, people have similar amount of respect. I'll go as far as to say that maybe Zidane has much more respect from the fans. But his football got very, very dire. Very dire. Basically unwatchable. Maybe that's why, you know, the rage was much more prevalent during his second stint. It was fucking mad, man. I couldn't watch our football. It wasn't the Real Madrid football on show. More like fucking Burnley with Galacticos. That was us for large bits during his second stint. After the league title, of course, you know, after the league title.
Yeah.
Dennis says, if we don't beat Chelsea, man, it'll be an historic embarrassment. I watched them this weekend against Everton. I did as well. Oh, my God. They're not all great, but they'll be up for the game against us. Yeah, they're not great. But I'm telling you, against Everton, they had a very good 2-0 lead. They had a 2-1 lead with 20 minutes to go. All they had to do, they have such technically sound players, yeah, like Kovacic, Gallagher, so many good midfield players, very good quality players who can actually keep the ball. All they had to do was manage last 15 minutes. They couldn't. And someone called Sims or fucking Johnny Sins, someone who nobody has heard of, scored an 89th minute winner. I'll tell you, Kepa is sus. That is our MasterCard, Master Key, you know, into progressing. He's a great he has great reflexes and whatnot, but he's sus close range shots and whatnot, crosses especially. He's a short man. Yeah, but Chelsea, like we saw last year, they didn't have a recognized striker. Lukaku was off. Was Lukaku off? Lukaku was out of the team. Yeah, he wasn't sold off, but he was kind of fallen out with Thomas Tuchel and whatnot. But they still kind of play the same, you know. Havertz up top, Mount and Pulisic. Was it Mount and Pulisic the other day? I don't think so. But yeah. They kind of play the similar system, five at the back. I really expect to go through, man, but you never know. Chelsea has a reputation for doing it the hard way. The two times they won the Champions League was when they were their worst. So it is going to be an interesting matchup for sure. Jacob, do you feel Chelsea nerves already, or do you kind of feel pretty confident that we can do a job?
Well, I wish we had like faced Chelsea a bit sooner. Then at this moment, I feel very confident that we can beat them. But maybe like a few weeks down the line, who knows, man? Who knows?
Well, Dennis says we have to cook Kepa. He's crab. He's not Alisson. Yeah, Kepa is not good. But he's not shit either. He had a period where he was the worst goalkeeper in Europe, but. He's far from it now. Much better performances from Kepa. There is a reason why he, even when Edouard Mendy wasn't injured, he managed to actually bench him. Yeah, Edouard Mendy is a completely... Benzema took his soul and sold it to the devil. That's it. Like, he's gone. He's done at Chelsea at this moment, I think. But yeah, man. Bad day, bad night. Bad evening. I'll have to sleep and get over this fucking game. Just not look at the league table again. But before we kind of wrap this up, Jacob, I need to ask you about the Negreira, the all that shit that's going on. How do you pronounce it? Negreira.
Okay.
Negreira, right. Yeah, the Negreira papers and whatnot. Do we have any new breakthroughs? What is it looking like? Do you think that they'll be eventually prosecuted? And if they're prosecuted, do you think that there'll be serious stuff thrown around? Will FIFA get involved? Will their titles be taken away and stuff like that?
Okay, so just for the viewers who missed the preview, so Shubham went into like a great bit of detail on how this was going to affect La Liga, who's just had like...
Shubham from the Forza Barca podcast, for those yeah. who don't know. Mm.
So he did mention the company that was collecting all of these payments from all of these clubs. So Espanyol, Valencia, there's a bunch of clubs involved. Almost 19 clubs from La Liga have been paying this company to get quote-unquote reports from them in exchange for maybe a 400K or something close to that per year. And I just don't know, man, like on paper, this does not sound very sketchy, but then this is how you would actually set up bribing system, right? On paper, it would look very, very innocent, but then they're not sure about how deep this goes. The team currently is analyzing the payments, how it got spent by the Negreira's company. So as we get more details regarding that, it will become clear whether Barcelona actually paid for reports or whether Barcelona paid the referees directly.
But the signs are not looking good, bro, right?
It is not looking good, and it is not looking good just for Barcelona. It has major implications for the rest of the league.
Yeah, fucking win the league if this comes out as true, because the amount of heartbreak I have to go through as a fucking 15-year-old, 14-year-old, you know, like growing up, and with all the fucking Barca fans in my ears for a good part of 2010s, man, it was fucking hell, bro. Just honestly, so like I'll lose faith in what I was watching all along, and I'll have my doubts whenever I see good football again. It is insane. But Jacob, the reason why Perez didn't actually go for the dinner or for the lunch or whatever the fuck that was, and also didn't attend the game was like a sign of protest, do you think, or was it?
I mean, we did put out a statement saying we do not condone on any of these, but I feel like we are also like waiting for official paperwork.
Disclosure. Yeah.
It's all in a state of flux. Let's see. Let's see how it goes. No, but yeah. What stood out to me, like with the whole thing, is that the way that these clubs justified having to pay for these reports, they were like, so all of these referees are favoring Madrid. That's why we are forced to do this. I mean, bro, like, have you like looked back on all of these years? I don't think we've been like getting any kind of favors from the referees at all. So let's see.
Let's see. Honestly, but I think the bottom line to this should be coming out before the end of the season, right? For sure.
For sure.
If it comes out to be true, all these great, great players, you know, the Xavis, Iniestas, Busquets, the great, great Guardiola teams, man, the common link, you know, City allegations, Barcelona allegations, common link, ball fraud, bro. But yeah, man, I guess that's pretty much it. We'll let you guys know if we have any side content planned. At this moment, I personally would like to take a break from football, a 2-week cleanse retreat, if you could call it that. When we come back, we face Valladolid on the 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. And then 3 days later, we have the El Clasico again at the New Camp. And then a week later, Chelsea. So it's a very interesting looking month, April, which can be make or break, honestly, for us, for Carlo, for, you know, some great players whose futures look in fine balance. Dennis the Great says it's funny. Go on, Jacob.
Yeah, man, like, holy shit, Pep was at the game today.
Yeah, he was at the game.
Wow.
You didn't see it? Yeah, they were panning in on him. And in the crowd. Dennis says, same thing, I need to take a break from football. Well, I guess you deserve it, mate, honestly. After this shambolic La Liga season, oof. Like, I'm just looking back, you know, like, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but those points against Atleti, the draw, Sociedad, nil-nil. Did we draw against Bilbao? Jacob, no, right?
No.
We did?
We won against
Betis, yeah. Betis. Rayo, before the World Cup, then
Rayo
Osasuna.
Was a loss. It was a heavy loss. Wow.
Heavy loss. 3-2. Yeah, Mallorca. Yeah, not good. Not good. Not good for your heart. Not good for your mind. Not good for your soul. Carlo, please fix up. Rest your big guns. You know how valuable they are. Please wrap these men in bubble wrap and just, you know, like, well, what is that thing called? Cyro sleep or something? You know, where like in the space movies, these guys go to...
Cryo sleep.
Cryo, not Cyro, right? Okay. Yeah. Cryo sleep. Yeah, whatever the fuck that is. But yeah, like, put them to good use and regenerate their, you know, their cell systems and whatnot, because some of them badly needed, man, especially Benzema. I hope we can come back from the break and look sharp again, look motivated again, and look to retain the Champions League title, man. I'm telling you, against Chelsea, we are massive favorites, and it doesn't go very well when we have massive favorites, right, Jacob? Like, it has a tendency to backfire. And I've seen it myself. Juventus 2015, not good. Last year, Chelsea, second leg. Who thought, you know, 4-3, we had to win in the end. Nobody saw it coming, so we need to be on game. Yeah, man, any final thoughts, Jacob, before we kind of go?
I just don't have final thoughts, man. I'm just gonna go sleep it off, get back on the pod in happier times.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so until next time, people, before we go, over 15 of you in the chat, love for the love, man. Even on a bad day, even on a day that we don't have any really good thoughts, because of the obvious result and whatnot. You guys are still here supporting the thing, supporting the channel. Big up all of you. Don't forget to, smash the like on the way out. If you're new here, don't forget to subscribe to the channel as well. And also, man, tell a friend to tell a friend. Share it among your mates. Share it among your fellow Madridistas. We do content 365 days a year: previews, post matches, reviews, shots, reaction videos, all of that. We have been kind of a little busier this season with the schedules and stuff. But I'm pretty sure, there is much more exciting stuff on the way. Also, much love for the people who actually follow us on our audio platforms. We amassed over 17, yes, 17.5K plays on our audio podcasts. Over 630 followers as well. So yeah, massive love, man. So humbling, honestly, very, very humbling to actually see all this love. So again, if you guys want to listen to us on the go, we are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all of that. Yeah, man, and big up all of you. So until next time, Ala Madrid.
Hola, Matrix.